Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Can you say that? Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Now I'm just opening up to Psalm 118, verses 25. Hoshiana, please, Adonai, save now, we beseech you. Adonai, prosper us. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the, of Adonai. This was a psalm where a Davidic king comes home from victory, a hard-fought battle, but it is also considered a messianic psalm. And, you know, prophesying Jesus coming. Yeah, Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. And the disciples spoke this as Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey the week of his passion way, proclaiming his as their messianic king. Baruch haba Hashem Adonai. And we find it one more place, and it's Jesus speaking. In Matthew 23:39, Jesus expressed his longing that his people would recognize him as he lamented over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This was Jesus' heart cry for his people to know him as their Messiah, because he came to save the lost sheep of Israel. This is his longing, and down through the centuries, Jews have recognized him, and the ones that did gave us what we hold here in our, and then the new covenant is written by all Jews. Maybe Luke was not, but everything that we have inherited is from them, our Jewish brethren. And they're growing, the numbers are growing of Messianic Jews in the world. I just got this flyer that gave a number of 300,000. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it's growing exponentially. More and more are coming to know their Messiah. And in Israel, there's just exploding in the number of congregations, that Messianic congregations there. You know, Jesus is, we see in this verse, his longing for his people to recognize him. But I believe that he also has another longing, and that has to do with us. What might that be? Well, Sister Ueda has written this little booklet, which we're going to go through a little bit this afternoon, From Ridicule to Respect, Getting the Church Back on Course. I believe that Jesus is waiting for us, the Gentile Christians, to more and more recognize him as our Jewish king. That's what Sister Yoela writes about here. She really challenges us, because some bad church history started taking us off in another direction, so that we've gotten to a point where we are disconnected. The Gentile church is disconnected from our Jewish roots. in this booklet, she, and there's some, there's plenty over on the table there. Just, I'm just going to read excerpts from this, but the focus of the book is that in Jesus' trial, when he was put on trial, he was charged for two things. He was charged that he was God's, the Son of God, and he was charged for being the King of the Jews. Those were the two things that took Jesus to the cross. And both times, the verdict was guilty. And we know that Pilate himself wrote this sign that was put over Jesus' head, and you see it on crucifixes. It says, "Inri, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," is what that means. And it's when it, for Jesus, it was written over his head in three languages: Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Is that correct? Yeah. But the thing about it is that the sign was put there in mockery. It was to make fun of him. And is it Sister Yoela's point is that we shouldn't leave it at that point. It needs to be brought to, for us that know and love him, to adoration and not left in the mockery. But we have to become aware of it. And just something is, I think, missing in our Christian teaching. I mean, I was surprised when I read Mark 15, how many times it talks about Jesus is the King of the Jews. I was shocked. I know it in my head, but I'm just going to read a few of the verses. This is his passion way. Right at daybreak, the ruling Kohanim held a meeting to consult with the elders and Torah scholars and the whole Sanhedrin. They tied up Yeshua, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate interrogated him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Yeshua answers him, "As you say." The ruling Kohanim began to accuse him of many things, and again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? Look how many charges they're bringing against you." But then Yeshua did not answer, so Pilate was amazed. Then a little bit later on, but Pilate answered them saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that out of envy, the ruling priest or Kohanim had handed him over. Then answering again, Pilate said to them, "So what do you want me to do with the one you call the King of the Jews?" And they said, "Execute him." Then they took him out, and the soldiers took him away into the palace. They dressed him up in purple, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Over and over, they kept hitting him on the head with the staff and spitting on him and kneeling down. It's all mockery. And then as his crucifixion, it was the third hour when they nailed him on the stake, and the inscription of the charge against him was written above, "King of the Jews." And then later, "Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the stake so we may see and believe." Even those executed with him were ridiculing him. So it's really true what Sister Yoela is saying here. And I've missed it when I've read it. And another instance, just this is just personal, to confirm what she's trying to bring in this booklet. I have a book at home called 100 Portraits of Christ, where the writer, it's a devotional, and he talks about all the different names of Jesus as the Good Shepherd and the Great I Am and the Carpenter and, you know, 100 different things. So I went to the book to see what he would say about King of the Jews, because I always refer to it all the time on Canaan when I teach things. There wasn't one. There was no King of the Jews there. And I just read it 6 times in one chapter. And so, you know, I just feel like what Sister Yoela is saying in the book is really true. And we're just coming to this awareness. It's an awareness that we have to come to. She says, is Jesus the Son of God? For mainstream Christians, the answer has always been yes, a yes that is clearly expressed in our creeds. But is Jesus the King of the Jews? History suggests that the church never took this question seriously enough to give a clear response. The inscription on the cross was understood as an expression of Roman contempt that need not concern us further. But this was the starting point for an insidious error. Jesus was welcomed as the Son of God, but not as the King of the Jews. Thus, Christianity was led astray, and instead of being their strongest protector, the church became the Jews' most avid persecutor. And most of you have been here to several retreats where we often talk about this theme, and I'm not going to go into the guilt of Christianity, but for anybody that is not familiar with it, we have these booklets over there that review the history of Christian persecution against the Jews. And so this is one reason this came into being. And do you want to be their protector, or do you want to be their persecutor? How do I want to be? Then she talks about what happened in Nazi Germany, you know, in the Hitler years, where you were, it says, belief in Jesus as Son of God and King of the Jews was torn apart. Reading the Old Testament was a dangerous activity. And cleansing the New Testament, there was a whole movement to cleanse the New Testament of all Jewish influences. Well, we can see that happening in our times too. There's all kinds of things going on, current events with Israel. There's a movement called BDS. Have you ever heard of BDS? It stands for Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. And this is a global effort to delegitimize Israel. And it's affecting churches, because churches that are turning against Israel are pulling their money out of investing in Israel. That's divesting. Some of the mainline churches are doing that. And there's a tremendous battle on the campuses right now. It's like David and Goliath, because there's a big presence on campus for, you know, the Palestinian cause, and they have an apartheid week where they, for a whole week, they talk about the wall and that Israel's apartheid, and that's all false. And also in the evangelical church for many years, decades, Israel could rely on evangelical support, but that is changing in the last few years, because Arab Christians are coming to the United States and talking to the leaders of evangelical churches, and giving them their side of the story, so to speak, the Palestinian scenario and social justice, all around social justice and that type of thing. It's not based on the Bible. And I experienced that personally on Canaan. A lady came, and two ladies came for our Israel prayer, and one of them afterwards was grabbing for some Israel literature, and the other one said, "Don't take that." And I thought, I wonder what this is about. So I followed him out, and I started talking to her. And this lady told me that Jesus was a Palestinian. I was more than shocked, and I didn't react very well. I was like, I just said, "Don't you read the Bible? You know, don't you read God's word?" And she said, "This isn't about the Bible. This is about history." And so she bought the scenario about Palestine, and it's false. They're all lies. And but this is where we're at now. And that was just a real eye opener. A real eye opener for me. And Sister Yoela says, and I agree, as Christians, we now have work to do. We are called to draw attention to the Jewish Jesus in our churches and fellowships, to love and honor Jesus as a Jew. It sounds so simple, but to be honest, where is it done? It's done in Messianic congregations, but not in, mainline. Only then will Jews be able to count on the help of Christians and look to the church for protection. You know, you heard the story of the Jewish man that went into our chapel in Germany and saw the yellow star that was mounted on a crucifix. He was Orthodox and not believing in Jesus. But he said if Christians had done that in Nazi Germany, the Holocaust may not have happened. He was so moved because it was saying, we know that Jesus is Jew. We acknowledge that he was Jewish. And wouldn't we stand up for his family? Well, what does this mean in practical terms? A general feeling of solidarity with Israel isn't enough, for it will not stand the test. Ruth, a Gentile from Moab, would settle for nothing short of unwavering faithfulness. Your people will be my people, and where you die, I will die. That's what Ruth said. And she really sacrificed when she married Boaz. This was also a sacrifice for her. And there's a book out, if you're really interested in this thing. It's called The Ruth-Like Church. It's a very eye-opening book. If you're, it's pretty thick and everything, so if you're not interested, don't get it. But if you're like, wow, I can't wait to read that, then I'd recommend it. It's very, very good. We have to come to this place where we're willing to stand with Israel and the Jewish people, even when it costs us something. And just a couple weeks ago, there was a rally in Phoenix. We try to, when there's a rally, and it's mostly, we're the only Christians there. This one was in an Orthodox synagogue, and one where they're separated, the men and the women. And the Orthodox are especially leery of Christians, but they just said, "Thank you, we're so glad you're here." And it was powerful. Those prayers, it was all in Hebrew, and they were crying out to God because of what's happening in Israel right now, and all the stabbings and the terror attacks and all those things, and that we could be a part of that, and that just to be there, to show them we, you know, we're with you. Mm-hmm. They appreciate it so much. Sister Yoela says, we need to restore to Israel what we have robbed them of, a love for Jesus and all his Jewishness. You know, that when they can't connect the dots because we don't portray the Jewishness of Jesus. They think he's somebody, Jews think that Jesus is our God and he's separate. He's not Jewish. And if you read testimonies, there's a website, imetmessiah.com, that has testimonies of Jewish people that have met Messiah. It's really interesting to go on there. Many of them say, well, we're not supposed to read the New Testament, but a Christian kept bugging me, and I finally started reading it, and I started at Matthew. And they go start with the book, the genealogy of Yeshua HaMashiach, Ben David, Ben Abraham, Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob, and their eyes just get bigger and bigger. As several of them say that. That's how Jonathan Bernice, this is what brought him to recognize his Messiah when he realized he was Jewish. And there's a story in this little booklet, Where is the King of the Jews? A Jewish lady told our sisters in Germany that when she was a child, she wanted to be in a Christian play. She wanted to be Mary. She was so, and I don't think she was a believer, but she was so enthralled with the Christmas story, and Jewish people are. She asked to be Mary, and she was told, no, you can't, you're Jewish.
Mary wasn't Jewish.
Shocking. I mean, it seems funny, but it's really not. Those people didn't know that Mary was Jewish. So we have a long way to work ourselves back. And how did all this happen? I don't have time to go into that. It's, you know, a big part of it is replacement theology. I think most of you are familiar with that. A teaching that has infiltrated the church from early on, from the early church fathers, where they didn't take the scriptures literally, they allegorized them. They basically made them mean whatever they wanted to. And they said, no, that doesn't, where it says Israel doesn't mean them, that means the church. And because they rejected Jesus, surely God is against them now. And now, so we get all those promises and they get all the curses. That's replacement theology. And that's what's gone through. That's taught in most seminaries. Replacement theology is taught in most seminaries. So your pastors, many of them, and it's not intentional. It's not intentional. Sometimes it is. Also, Constantine in the fourth century, when he declared Christianity as a state religion, he made an effort to cut off everything Jewish. And that's where we lost the celebration of the Feast of the Lord, the biblical Feast of the Lord in the Bible. And that's when we went over to, Christmas and Easter and all of that. Not saying we shouldn't, worship the Lord in his birth and resurrection, but that's when it happened. And so we just kept getting further and further away. So I have another picture from Michael Washer I'd like to put up here that kind of illustrates something, that because we have to get in our minds, in our hearts, our spirits, that it's God is he gave this, it came through, this kingdom actually came through the Jewish people. And we Gentiles are being invited in, we're grafted in. But we have it somehow mixed up that we're the tree and everybody else has to do us. This is just a general attitude that we have that needs to change. Scripture verse is, can you see it? But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off, that's us, Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he is our shalom, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation. What I like about this picture is, you see the Jewish people are on the left reaching out to the Gentiles. It's just an illustration to try to get it into us. And this is the one new man. No one's better than the other or anything like that. We're all united through the Lord Jesus. But we tend to leave the Jewish people out when they're the ones that have brought us in. There's another scripture. I encourage you to read Ephesians 2 and 3, because that talks about the one new man. And Ephesians 3 says, the mystery is that the Gentiles, that Paul wrote this as the mystery. This is a mystery. He couldn't believe it. This is a mystery to Paul. That the Gentiles are joint heirs and fellow members of the same body and co-sharers of the promise in Messiah Yeshua through the good news. That's a mystery to Paul, that we would be included. And praise God we are. God is faithful and will crown Jesus king, but not just over his own people. He will appoint him ruler over every nation on earth. The mockery of the Inri inscription will not be the last word. Jesus' Jewish identity is plainly indicated in his final I am statement. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Now is the time for us to get ready to welcome the King of the Jews. The Lord needs us. It is our special privilege in the church that we can be the donkey, so to speak, that carries Jesus to his own people as well as to our Christian congregations and fellowships near and far. And that's what we want to encourage you to do as you take this message in. It needs to be shared. It needs to be discussed in your prayer groups. And give the pamphlet to your pastors so that we start thinking this through. And then at the FIRM conference, this Israel conference, there was a whole session on the fact that this is going to cost us something. Only by sharing the spirit of our gentle and humble King Jesus will we be able to fulfill this great mission. There will be no triumphal parade for his disciples, but only the chance to sacrifice our lives and to suffer scorn and condemnation for his sake. You know, to stand up for Israel now, it's going to cost us something. So that they, at this conference, we got down on the ground and a whole huge congregation with young people, you know, made that commitment to, you know, to stand for the Lord Jesus and take him and his Jewishness to our churches. When we share him with others, with Jewish people, we do it with sensitivity, you know, knowing what they've suffered because of Christianity, but they need to, we're supposed to provoke them to jealousy. And I just wanted to say about Haya, last night we showed, I mentioned Haya, this Jewish lady. She was, as a baby, hidden in a convent. She lives in Phoenix. And we met her when we went on a march on Kristallnacht from a church to a synagogue. And Sister Cleofa befriended her as a German. And she, when she heard her German accent, she could hardly stand it. Mm-hmm. But Sister Cleofa kept reaching out to her, loving her. It took years. Mm-hmm. And years and years, and she's one of our dearest friends. And now she tells us, well, a couple of years ago, she called us up and told us there's a Christmas pageant we should go to, and that she was going to, and she goes to Bible studies. She calls out for Messiah to come. And it just shows that this love can go a long way, but sometimes it takes a long time. But she, and then after she felt more comfortable with us, she shared more of her story, but that took a long time. And anyway, that's how things go.
You might tell them what Kristallnacht is.
Kristallnacht is the night of the broken glass, where they, on November 11th, they attacked in Germany businesses and broke the glass in synagogues, and it was very destructive, set them on fire. And it's considered the beginning of the Holocaust. And so often there's commemorations on November 11th. The Jewish community remembers that. It's still painful, a remembrance for them. So, you know, I think we just, we'll say a prayer, and we're going to sing song that you have there, that we want to begin to adore our Jewish King. Worship and adore.
Thank you.
So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this time, and we've heard a lot. We just ask that you would come and work in our hearts this message. It was my heart cry that this would not be an intellectual thing, but that this would really somehow begin something new in our hearts, a new desire to worship you, our Jewish King. And Lord, that should inspire us to action in some way. And I can't tell anybody what that would be. Only you can. But if we would just think, what can I do for my Jewish King today? Or even once a week, what can I do for my Jewish King? What would you like, Yeshua? What would you like me to do for you? Reaching out to a Jewish neighbor, or going to a Messianic congregation, or it can be many different things. Sending cards on the holy days. Lord, I just pray that something new would begin in our hearts, that we can take a step back towards you, to our Jewish roots, not with our heads, but with our hearts. And if we do that, then you will tell us what to do. And so please work that in our hearts today. And I think what we'll do now, we have a bookmark. You can pass that around. It just is a reminder. And then they're all the same, so it's just a reminder that we love and adore you, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And remember, there's many of them over here on the table. And if you have 5 minutes, I think we do, if you would like to, we can watch that DVD again. And this time, when they sing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," we can take that as us singing it to our Jewish Messiah. And that we want to make this commitment to, spread this message to others, and wherever he leads us by his Holy Spirit.
It escaped.